Family Month, we'll try to treat topics that we see people are having problems with, especially people who are counseling. So we try to teach topics that will benefit each and every one of us. So listening is a key to healthy relationship. So how many of you have tried to settle a dispute or misunderstanding or even a quarrel between husbands and wives or even family disputes? Don't raise up your hand, because I know this happens all the time, happens everywhere. Sometimes it gets difficult. You will not know where to start, especially when both parties are giving two conflicting stories. A simple thing that is causing misunderstanding, and you begin to wonder, you ask one spouse to make her or his own statement, and the statement she will make will conflict the statement her spouse or her husband is making. And you begin to wonder, and we are children of God. So how many of you have serious arguments with your spouse? It happens all the time. We do have arguments. This happens sometimes. And again, we don't know why. We don't know why. Again, when you look at what is causing that argument or that disagreement between you and your spouse, it's just a little tiny thing that is or was not supposed to cause any problem. Today, we will know why. So what we are going to discuss today is very important. And if we understand it and believe it, it will improve our marriage, it will improve our relationship, and it will improve our relationship with our children and our relationship with people. And that is communication. So listening is a part of communication. And communication is a cornerstone of every relationship. In fact, communication is the pillar that holds every relationship. And listening is the basis for effective communication. You can always agree with me that listening, on Thursday, Pastor started by saying that people don't listen, that they preach and preach and we don't listen. And it's very true. We find it difficult to listen, but it's very easy for us to speak. And the problem we have is that we don't listen with the intent to understand. Even when we listen, we don't listen with the intent to understand, but rather we listen with the intent to reply. Your spouse or somebody will tell you something, you don't pay attention, all you want to do is to reply, to say what you want to say, and not to listen to what he or she is saying. So we can hear, but we find it difficult to listen. Hearing is just taking a sound through the ear, but listening requires attention and concentration. You know, I can hear noise over there, but I don't know what is happening over there. I cannot tell exactly what is happening. And sometimes when we speak, what we say goes in as a noise, as a sound. My wife sometimes, when she's talking to me, my mind will be somewhere else. And then she'll notice it, and then she'll ask me, what did she say? And then I begin to mumbling. Then she will know that I was not paying attention. So I believe that miscommunication in marriage started right from the Garden of Eden. In God's original plan, he made it that man will forever live happily, because in Genesis 3:8, God was fellowshipping with man. Let's look at Genesis 3:8, NLT. It said, when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife had the Lord God walking about in the garden, so they hid from the Lord among the trees. Which means, at this time in Adam's life, God was visiting him and his wife, and they were having good communication. There was relationship. God established that relationship. God was fellowshipping with them until in verse 9 to 13, that Genesis 3, 9 to 13, it says, then the Lord God called to the man, where are you? God knew where he was. Doesn't mean that God didn't know where he was, but he said, where are you? He replied, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. God was not happy. He did not want man to disconnect himself from him. And this is why he sent Jesus Christ to reconnect us back, to reconcile us back to him. That was why Christ came. God has always made it that he will continue to have constant fellowship with man. So the man replied, verse 11, say, who told you that you were naked? The Lord God asked, have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat? Verse 12, the man replied, it was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit and I ate it. Then the Lord God asked the woman, what have you done? The serpent deceived me. She replied, that's why I ate it. Did you notice that none of them admitted that they were wrong? There was no, I'm sorry, Lord, for disobeying your order. And this is exactly what causes conflicts in a relationship. Not admitting that you are wrong. Again, this is where I'm guilty. It's hard for me to admit where I'm wrong. I always want to prove that I'm right. So Adam, they didn't say, God, I'm wrong for disobeying you. I'm sure if they had done, I believe they have done that, maybe God would have forgiven them. So there was no apology to God for their own mistakes. They went into a blame game. Adam blamed God. Says, the woman you gave me made me eat it. In other words, God, it was your fault. Because if you didn't give me this woman, I wouldn't have eaten the fruit. Remember when Eve was created, he said, this is my bone of bone and the flesh of my flesh. And now she's now this woman. Eve blamed the serpent. This is the same thing Cain. Remember Cain and Abel did when he killed his brother Abel. Let's look at Genesis 4:9. It says, afterward, the Lord asked Cain, where is your brother? Where is Abel? I don't know. Cain responded, am I my brother's guardian? Some translation will say, am I my brother's keeper? Asking God's question instead of admitting his fault again. He was asking God question. The fact is that everything evil is deplorable and will always bring shame. Remember what Adam did? They started hiding. And this is what sin does. Adam committed evil and was running away from God. Now, let's go back to where this whole thing started. Let's look at Genesis 2:16 and to 18. He said, but the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat fruits of every tree in the garden. 17. Except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. Question. When the instruction was given to Adam, was Eve there? Obviously, Eve was not there. Because if you see the first verse 16, it says, but the Lord God warned him. He didn't say warned them. And then on verse 18, it says, then the Lord God said, right after he gave Adam that instruction, he now said, it is not good for the man to be alone. So that instruction was given to Adam alone. So Eve was not created by that time. So let's keep going. Now, let's look at Genesis 3:1-6. It says, the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked, let's pause here for a moment. You know, when God created man, he gave man dominion. He said, take dominion of all the animals, everything. Say, rule, occupy the earth. So Adam was supposed to take control or dominion of that serpent. Unfortunately, he didn't, and he was present when the serpent came. So one day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Of course, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, now she is quoting God, God said you must not eat it or even touch it. God didn't say that. So he misquoted God. She misquoted God. God said you should not eat it. He never said you should not touch it. If you do, you will die. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will open as soon as you eat it. And you'll be like God, knowing both good and evil. Can you imagine Satan knowing the mind of God? Say, you won't die. He just contradicting God. Say, that God knows that your eyes will open as soon as you eat it. Verse 6. The woman was convinced. She saw the tree was beautiful and its fruit looks delicious. You know, when Satan wants to deal with you, he will blind your spiritual eyes. And then he will open your worldly eyes. He begins to see things like the world, you know, sees. Look at Eve. She has been in that garden for long, and she never noticed the beauty of that tree until the devil opened her eyes and gave her worldly eyes to see things the way the world sees things. And what do you see with the worldly eyes? Problems, evil. And what do you see with spiritual eyes? Solutions. Praise the Lord. So she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. I believe probably Adam was so anxious to eat that fruit because he was just moping at her. As she was eating it, she was imagining how tasty or how it was tasting, and he couldn't wait. He couldn't even stop his wife. He couldn't even remind her, what the Lord said, not to eat it. And he joined her and ate it. So what did Adam communicate to his wife that made her to quote God wrongly? This is where I'm going. What did he tell his wife? Because instruction was given to him alone. And probably because she quoted God, but she quoted God wrongly. She added something God did not say. So what did Adam tell her? Does it mean that Eve did not listen to her husband when he was telling her what God told him about the tree? And then this is what happens in our relationship, in our marriage, when we don't pay attention. When we don't pay attention to what our spouse is saying, when we don't pay attention to what our children are saying, we give wrong interpretation, wrong errors. And this is what happens in poor listening, or what poor listening will do. Poor listening will lead you to assumptions, misunderstandings, which leads to errors and ineffective decisions. Now, let's go into our topic. Listening, a key to healthy relationship. Let's look at James 1, 19 to 21. James 1, 19 to 21. James says, now James is talking to believers. This is written to believers and not unbelievers. Say, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. This is so powerful because I'm sure James must have experienced something in communication that made him to write this. Why? And then he tells us why we should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. The reason it says in verse 20, it says, for human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. You see, the tendency is that when there's conversation, and then when one party is not listening, there's obviously going to be misunderstanding. And from that misunderstanding can lead to anger. And that's not what God wants. He says, human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. And then he goes around in verse 21 to tell us what to do. Then how can we do it? He says, so get rid of all, I'm going to touch this later. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives. And what next shall we do? He says, humbly accept the word God has planted in your heart, for it has the power to save your souls. Obviously, what James is telling us is this, that the antidote to conflict and miscommunication is to be quick to listening and slow to speak. Because when we are slow to speak, we will have the opportunity to listen and understand the words the other person is saying and the meaning behind what he's saying. As we go further, we will see why. Now, notice the promptness or the urgency James put this writing. He said, be quick to listen, be quick to listen. James' point is that our number one priority when it comes to communication is to be quick to listen before we do anything else. And the reason is because we want the person we are having conflict. We want the same thing. That's what causes a conflict. We want the same thing the other person is saying. You want to be heard. As she's saying, or as you are talking, you want to be heard just as much as the other person wants to be heard. In other words, I want you to be quick to listen to me and slow to speak. And you want me to be quick to listen to you and slow to speak. You want to be heard and understood. And I want to be heard and understood. But it doesn't work that way. It doesn't want that work that way. That's why you have, you know, misunderstanding. When you are speaking, I'm supposed to pay attention. I'm supposed to listen to you. And then, before I can now understand what you're saying, it's only when I understand what you're saying, then you can understand what I'm saying too, because you'll be interested to listen to what I'm saying. Praise the Lord. Yeah, James 4:1 message says, where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrels come from? You think they just happen? Think again. They come about because you want your own way. You see, in communication, we all want our own way. We want the person that you are communicating with to hear us. We want to convince that person that you are right. So we want our own way and fight for it deep inside yourself. You lost for what you don't have and willing to kill to get it. Praise the Lord. So incidentally, the quicker we are to listen, the more we learn. So the quicker we are to listen, the more we learn. And the more we learn, the more we understand. And the more we understand, the less angry, you know, we'll be. Why? Because when we focus our attention to listening, the tendency is that you'll be asking questions. You'll be asking questions. And let me tell you, when someone is speaking to you and you don't pay attention, what you are sending to that person is that what you are saying does not matter. It has no weight. You know, I don't value it. So when someone is speaking to you and you're not paying attention, that's the message you are sending to that person, that what you're saying does not matter to me. So because when we focus our attention in listening, we will be asking questions, and the more questions we ask, the more understanding we get, and the more understanding we get, the less angry we become. When we are slow to speak, we will understand where the other person is coming from. So when the other person is speaking and then you keep quiet, now I'm begin to pay attention, you will understand where that person, the point that person is trying to make. But when he's speaking and then your mind is, you know, replying what to reply or, you know, what to say, then you will not get all the information that person is trying to pass across. If you understand this, then we will stop criticizing people. Why? Because everything everyone says makes sense to them. Even if it does not make sense to you. If I say something, if I'm saying something, what I'm saying makes sense to me. It may not make sense to you. So for the fact that you don't understand what I'm saying, shouldn't warrant you to criticize what I'm saying, because first of all, you have to understand what I'm saying before now you begin to criticize. So what do we do? Ask questions. Like I said, you ask questions. What I'm saying When I'm saying something that you don't understand, you ask questions because you want to know. You want to know. It's a problem that you know. Because they have perfect, every person, I have perfect reasons to believe that what I'm saying is right. I have every perfect reason to believe that what I'm telling you is the right thing. Praise the Lord. For example, when your spouse says something that upsets you, James advises us to be slow to get angry, but rather say less by asking questions, then you will understand. Remember, everything, like I said before, everything everyone says makes sense to them. So ask questions. This is what James is talking about. Why don't you be quick to listen and learn and be slow with what you say? Seek first to understand, then you'll be understood. If you don't understand what I'm saying, then it's going to be difficult for you to make statement for me to understand too. James 1:20 says, Human anger does not produce the righteousness of God. He says, my anger, the anger that erupts within me by trying to convince you that I am right, will only bring out my own righteousness or rightness. And this is not the righteousness that God desires. God is saying that neither of your rights are right. So neither of you, whether the spouse, your spouse, or yourself, in any argument, God says, both of you are not right. Colossians 3:23 says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as the Lord and not to men. So every conversation should tell us to how will God see this, when I react vehemently, when I react in an angry way, begin to wonder how God, you know, would think about it. Because our anger will not bring the righteousness of God. God wants us to be right with each other or with one another. He wants us to be right with one another and not to be right at each other. So would you rather win an argument and lose the relationship or lose the argument and stay in relationship? In the eyes of God, nobody wins because both of you are winners. But what God has joined together, let no conflict put asunder. Praise the Lord. So James continued in verse 21. He says, so get rid of all the filth and the evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has power to save your souls. Now, he did not say stop all the filth. He says get rid of. And how do you get rid of something? The same way you get rid of your trash. Garbage. So get rid of them. And let it not come back to you again. It's something that you have to do without. Get rid of those filth, everything that comes between your conversation, you know, with your spouse or with somebody. So get rid of them and then begin to produce or begin to enjoy the righteousness of God. He said, as soon as we have gotten away all the filth, now he went further, and the evil in our lives, we should do what? Put on humility. Say, put on humility. And what is humility? Humility says, you are more important than me. Being right with you is more important than me having my ways. So you begin to see your spouse better than you are. The conversation, you know, she or he has brought, you begin to enjoy it because you want the best out of her, or he wants the best out of you. Philippians 2, 3 to 4 says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. So we should consider others a lot. Were you having a conversation with somebody? You pay attention to know what that person is saying, because he or she has a vital information to pass across. And this is what Jesus applied. We're going to look at the conversation he had with the Samaritan woman. Very lengthy conversation. As a matter of fact, I think this is the longest conversation Jesus had with someone. And it's so interesting. I'm not going to read the whole thing. And this is a story we know very well. But the issue here is that when you begin to imagine the lifestyle of that Samaritan woman and seeing Jesus Christ having conversation with him in a normal setting, in the worldly setting, she is a victim of criticism. Would have been criticizing her rather than having a relationship with her. But see what Jesus Christ did. Jesus started by saying, please give me a drink. And this is knowing the story of Samaritans. And this is a woman being a Samaritan. The Samaritans, they don't have any relationship or dealings, association with the Jews. So they were treated as an outcast. Unclean. They were unclean. And then she was surprised that a Jew would ask her for a drink of water. And what it means, that he is willing to drink from the container she had. Praise the Lord. So, and then she said, you're a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? Then Jesus replied. Now, if you listen to this conversation, or if you read this conversation, you see that this woman kept asking questions. Kept asking questions. She wanted to know more. And Jesus kept giving her what she wanted. Jesus says, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I will give you living water. Now, she asks another question. He says, where would you get this living water? As conversation. Asking questions. Asking questions is very important. Asking questions will make you not to be angry. Asking questions will make you to understand more about what that person is saying. So she kept asking questions. She said, where would you get this? And he says again, do you think you are greater than our ancestor, Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you, on that question, how can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? Now, Jesus replied again, to her. So this woman kept asking questions, until finally she now realized whom Jesus Christ was. He now finally realized out of that conversation. But remember, Jesus never criticized her. Jesus Christ had an objective. He had a goal. The Bible said that God does not want anyone to perish. And she has seen this woman, that She needed a salvation. Jesus was willing to put away negative feelings, grudges, to really hear what people are saying. He listened to people with undivided attention, making them realize how important they were to him. So when having a conversation, always believe that the person you're having conversation with is very important. It's very important because he's trying to pass on to you an important message. When he asks questions, then you will realize where that person is going. If what he or she is saying does not make sense, that is not why you should criticize, but it's an opportunity for you to redirect that person. Praise the Lord. So Jesus knew everything about the Samaritan woman, yet he never criticized her. Rather, he risked being accused of being ceremonially unclean if he used a drinking vessel handled by a Samaritan because the Jews regarded them as unclean. So we're going to look at another example on Luke 24:17-20. Luke 24:17-20. He asked them, that's Jesus. Jesus asked them, what are you discussing so intently as you walk along? That's a question. Jesus wants to know. He wanted to know what they were discussing. They stopped short. Sadness written across their faces because they couldn't understand. Is this man from another planet that he was not aware of what was of what was happening, you know, in the area? Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there at the last few days." Now Jesus asked another question. What things? Now he wants to know. Undivided attention. He was paying attention. Now he wants to say, what things? Jesus asked. The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth. They said he was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned. So Jesus used what we call informative questions. Informative questions is questions you ask to get information. So when we apply this in a relationship, informative question, you want to ask questions that will help you to know more, and not questions that will, you know, make you to start criticizing. So if you want to be a good listener, you should learn to ask what, why, when, where, and how type of questions that will allow people to explain things from their own level of understanding. It shows that you want to know more because you are interested in the discussion. Praise the Lord. So my brother, this is very important. You know, listening is very important in every communication. I mean, communication cannot be completed without listening very well. It's bound to have a lot of errors, misinterpretation if you don't listen. Even here in the church, when we're doing announcement, many of us, we don't pay attention, we don't listen. And then you go out and start asking, when they tell you that so thing will happen, you say, well, was it announced? And yet it was announced. It's because we don't pay attention. We spend more time talking than, listening. And James is telling us that you should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So I'm going to conclude because there's a movie we're going to watch. It's just a 6 minutes movie. And that 6 minutes movie, will benefit some of our parents is how you communicate, you know, with the with our teen children, teenagers, you know, so that there will be understanding. Praise the Lord. So my conclusion is that if we are quick to listen and slow to speak, we will be slow to become angry. Because being angry does not bring out the righteousness that God desires. God wants us to be right with one another and not at each other. Praise the Lord. Rachuka, are you ready?
So, what is our natural desire? People can't find out.